Yeah. And I learned a Norwegian thing. There's no such thing as bad weather. There's bad clothing.
Yes. Is that very Norwegian? Yeah. I knew that. I knew that was very Norwegian. And it's true, don't you think? Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Power Platform Boost podcast, your timely source of Power Platform news and updates with your hosts, Nick Dolman and Ulrike Åkerbäck.
Hey.
Hey. Can we do that again?
Yes, hi. We are.
In the same place. In the same place.
Our second alternate recording studio.
In my house in Norway again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this time I'm here for a little bit different. I actually came here for, well, I'm working, but a vacation as well.
Yeah.
And our families got to hang out, which is really cool.
That was so good. Finally, we got to go troll hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went hiking in the woods. It was a rainy day, but it was all good. And the sun came out and the skies cleared and it was all good. Very good.
Yeah. And I learned a Norwegian thing. There's no such thing as bad weather. There's bad clothing.
Yes. Is that very Norwegian? I knew that. I knew that was very Norwegian. And it's true, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, it was a great time. And then I loaded the family up on a plane, sent them back home and stayed here for a few things. And then we're going to Color Cloud later this week.
Right. So first we're going to Oslo the next couple of days, or you are. And then we're going to go to Hamburg on Wednesday, stay there until Sunday for Color Cloud. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
And just so you guys know, because we've been posting and talking and ranting about this, the Color Cloud Color Challenge as a fundraiser thing we do to raise money for charity, connected to the Color Cloud event. And we've had, so last Boost Quest was about what color we would dye our hair, because that's the color challenge. And Nick still don't know what that poll result is. You said you wouldn't check.
No, I haven't checked.
You haven't found the form, right? So
no.
At this point, I know what color is winning. So if you want, and I close the vote, so there's, you can't vote anymore.
Oh.
And on Wednesday, we're going to go to Hamburg. We're going to color our hair and we're going to have blindfolds on Nick so that he won't know.
Oh, no.
What color he gets before it's done.
So
how amazing is that?
Oh. Yeah. We don't have much to work with. Like, this is probably the longest my hair has been in a while, because I thought I'd give at least something, but.
Oh, you're growing it out just for this. I love that. So good. So good. Your Darcy. Yeah, because then maybe you will show. The color will actually show.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah. No, so excited about this. So happy that we get to raise this money for charity. And let me just check the status so far. Yeah. We raised over 6,000 euros this far. The goal is 10,000. And by the time this goes on air, it will be finished. But I know also that Mats and the other hosts of the Color Cloud conference have other ideas of how to raise more money for charity. And it's going to go into the same pool. So keep donating and keep supporting us. And, the end game. And by the time this goes live, people, I hope we reached our goal, which is to get Mark Christie to dye his hair and beard. And I talked to him earlier this week and I said, well, color your hair red. And he said, what? Red? No. I was thinking blue. I just imagine Mark Christie with blue beard and hair. Oh, what we do for charity, I must say.
And speaking of the charities, it's each person that's participated in that got to pick basically their own charity. And I think it had to be based on the Better Place Oregon. It had to be sort of, I think, German based or whatever for the account, or there were some rules around that. But you just want to quickly let people know what the charity you picked.
Oh yeah, it was socks, and I have to go check now. It was a place where people can go when they come to a new place. They're driven out of their home. And they migrate and they end up in Germany. Then they can go to this house and they can meet each other. And it's a social space to kind of reconnect with the community. And I feel that's very important. And this time,
Yeah. And I ended up picking diabetes organization. My wife is diabetic. She's been diabetic since her 20s. So she takes insulin, measures her blood sugar every day. And it's amazing the technology that's been involved to help manage that. But still, I know there's a lot of people suffering from diabetes around the world. And it's not fun to have to take insulin every day and to monitor all your blood sugar and everything like that. So this is something that was the charity that I picked. And I'm just happy that we were able to hit our personal targets in terms of we're getting our hair colored, but still overall, there's other targets to hit. So hopefully we'll get there, and you'll see, if you're going to Color Cloud, you're going to see a lot of colorful heads.
Absolutely.
We'll see. I have a bit of anxiousness about all this now.
Oh, I love it. Oh, just put you out of your comfort zone.
Totally.
So yeah. The current goal is to raise $6,500 for Anna Inez, and she will actually get a tattoo. And then next up is Chris Huntingford, also with a tattoo. And then we have Scott Giroux. He's going to dye his hair green, people. If you raise enough money. I mean, come on, two tattoos and then two hair colors because you have more Christy at the end. It's worth it. Come on. So I hope you guys donate. And, you know, as I said, you know, by the time this airs, maybe it will be too late, but still, I hope that people get the message.
Cool. All right. So did anything happen in the Power Platform world this week?
The color hair and the tattoos. That's it. So, all right. Yeah, anything else. And we've been out hiking all week, so we haven't really checked. No, we have.
Yes.
We have a OneNote running where we put all the new news and updates from the community throughout the week. It's always in the back of our heads. We paste links into this OneNote all the time.
Yes.
And at the top, you have an item which is close to my heart. So it says environment groups.
Yeah.
So what is it?
Oh, so basically it's a new way, a new kind of a mechanism to group environments together. Because it's interesting. So if I look at my own personal tenant, it's just me and maybe a few others that help, like you help out a bit and things and other, you know. And so there's only a certain amount of environments, no problem, very manageable. When I worked at Microsoft, we had an environment, like we had a tenant where we could work on stuff, and there would be like literally imagine at Microsoft, like hundreds, if not thousands of different environments, and you had to sort through and find the environment you're working on. And then they also had a mechanism, they would clean up environments all the time. So you had to make sure that you're on top of that. But this way, now you have environment groups, so you can actually create groups within a large tenant and group those for certain things, assign them to certain users, and manage those large scale tenants into different groups and things like that. And of course, it comes with a whole bunch of other things as well, you know, creating environment group, creating rules for the environment group to make sure governance and everything like that. So we'll have the link in the show notes as well about, you know, the details about the strategies, the creating, the configuring the rules, the sharings, the routing and stuff like that to make sure your new users get to the right group that they should belong to. So a lot of goodness there. And again, it's just the whole governance story. Every week, it gets better and better to keep, because the Power Platform is so flexible, but you need to make sure you have the right guardrails and everything to make sure that your environments are in good shape going forward.
Yeah.
And so to, you know, have good environments to start building things like PCFs.
Ah, there you go. Yep. Nice little segue there. I absolutely love the environment groups. And I remember back when I was a SharePoint developer as well, you had site collections. And we went from, in the space of me being a SharePoint developer, we went from kind of a site collection being this huge thing where you would, you would plan it in advance. You wouldn't have too many in your organization. It was kind of a big deal. And suddenly groups came along. And suddenly a site collection was nothing. It was something you just spun up for what you needed that week kind of thing, or just for this project, or just for this this customer. And suddenly that it kind of felt like a smaller piece of the puzzle. And then the number grew and grew, and the IT department was freaking out because they couldn't even see back then the site collections that was created behind a group that we now know as a team. And the same thing kind of goes for environment. You used to have this idea of you have your big production environment where everything goes and no. And suddenly now every every user can have three developer environments, it kind of takes that down a notch. And so you have so many and being able to kind of have a structure of it. I want to see metadata. I want to see tags. I want to see so many more, you know, telemetry on this to be able to group and slice and dice and sort, just like we can with other data sources as well. So I'm just thinking we are just seeing the beginning of this, actually. But yeah, definitely something to look out for. PCF. I kind of ruined your segue. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. I'm used to it.
I always have things to say. So the segue into the PCFs is because the next item on my list is Dana Birkelbach's blog post about how to learn PCF controls or to build them more like it. So she has a blog post called PCF Learning Roadmap, where she goes through everything from start to finish, from prerequisites, what do you need to install on your computer, setting up the environments you need to get up and running, links to deeper learning material for TypeScript and NPM and React and everything else that's kind of in the ecosystem around PCFs, and also code snippets along the way so that you can actually implement and you do what she does throughout her blog post. It's, for me, I'm diving into pro code more and more. These kinds of resources is gold. I absolutely love the way that Diana writes blog posts as well. So structured and organized and meticulous. It's just absolutely perfect. So if you're new and you want to get started with PCFs, it's a good way to start.
Or if you're older and want to get into PCFs, it's always been on my list. I need to dive more into PCFs because there's so many things you can do with it. It's just sort of that one area that I'm still a total noob in PCF control. So I saw this, link as well. Diana's stuff's amazing. So she is she's like the PCF master, I think, in terms of her trainings and things like that. And the thing is, every time I'm doing a workshop at a conference, she's usually doing a workshop on PCF.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I'm doing a workshop, but I want to go to a workshop.
Yeah.
So.
No, I get it. I'm exactly the same. So yeah. No, so check that out for sure. And then next thing on the list is also one of mine, but I think maybe you need to alternate a bit down here or else we're going to, do you want to do the Copilot answer thing?
Yeah, for sure. So this is something Power Pages related. That's not Power Pages related. Copilot answer control was something that kind of came up. And this is where it's the new Copilot answer control. It is now in public preview. So it's probably been out in private preview for a while, but it's basically a control that you can slap into your Power Apps to get, it's more that AI prompting. So as opposed for you looking for something or trying to drill down into a dashboard or whatever, now this Copilot control can actually go through and give you that information. And in the blog post that Microsoft put out, they talk about the daily schedule of an HVAC technician. Whereas, you know, for them, if they have an app, they're going through, where's my next stop? But this time the Copilot is telling them, oh, here's where your next appointment starts. Here's what you're going to need to know. Mm-hmm. And things like that. And now this will, right now, this control ties into Dataverse, which if you're using something like Field Service, whatever, well, yeah, all that information is in Dataverse and it can kind of summarize that, but also go things in terms of, you know, answering questions and things like that. So as opposed to trying to go through an advanced find and find all certain things, now we can start asking it questions, sort of like, you know, how many accounts that have a certain amount of revenue, if you're using sales, for example, or even your own data, how much it's that. It's sort of the Star Trek computer, tell me blah, 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 blah. And this will start going through your Dataverse data and within the app itself, beginning to show you this. So this is now, like, I know Microsoft is all Copilot, it comes at us from 1,000 different directions, but now we're beginning to see the fruits of all of this stuff. It's beginning to make our users' lives so much easier and giving them an extra value out of the applications that we build for them. And I even think of some of the projects that we're working on. My head's already spinning and like, okay, now that we get sort of the infrastructure there, we got the project built. Now let's start playing around with the Copilot so the users don't have to go in and dig and find this information that's being stored. They can actually ask it and it can tell them. And I think that's just going to open up a huge a huge amount of doors for users that sometimes struggle, because a lot of these business applications, there's a lot of information there and there's a lot to go through and there's a lot to find out. But this is another avenue in to get that that information out of the systems. And that's what they're designed for at the end of the day, is to be helpful, to give you information, to make good decisions. So exciting times. And we'll sort of, again, this is a constant state of evolution. I think every 2 weeks, Copilot has grown up a bunch more. And we're seeing the results of that.
Yeah, definitely. It's so exciting. And yeah, the thought of having those kind of agents, I know. So Itera also launched a new Copilot or an AI service this week. And it's exactly that thought, that you have an agent by your side that you can teach how to work for you. And it also has a prompt engine in it. And we had this discussion earlier this week about prompting, because we've, you know, thinking about Copilots and it's coming into our workspace, and we're kind of feeling a bit of resistance towards it. There's a bit of friction here, but especially us two and Copilot. And you know this, people listen to this podcast, we're not being too excited about it at times. But we also see that we need to embrace it. And we're talking about, you know, why is this friction here? What is it about it? And we also talk to the fact that we're developers. We want to write code. We want to develop and solve complex problems or issues. And I'm not a prompt engineer, because now I realize more and more that I've been not diving deep enough and taking time to really learn how to prompt properly. And I learned that when I started using the new tool that Itera created, because that will, you can create an agent and then you can give that agent a name and then you can prompt it to give you a proper prompt. And that's when I realized I'm such a poor prompter, because I would put in, you know, one sentence, because I'm bored very easily with these kind of things. And the description it would give me was just a massive sentence or chunk of text. So detailed and so meticulous. And I was looking at this going, I will never be good at this, because I don't have the patience to write this exact detailed prompt thing that it requires me to do in order to help me. I'm a developer. This is not, because if I was good at this, then I would do something else. I would be a scribe, an author, you know? And so that's kind of the conversation that we had as well. It requires a different skill set than what most developers maybe have.
It reminds me when Google first sort of came out, you learned very quick how to Google something.
Yeah. The plus and the minus and the brackets.
So just sort of to get that head wrapped around too. Yeah, you're right. Because for me, it's just sort of like, you know, you plug in an error message into Google and you find a bunch of these links and you still have to go through and find this. Like now to go into Copilot, like I actually have on my desktop a formula to kind of put together prompts. And it's a lot of work because you have to, you know, identify your persona. What is it that you want to do? What format do you want to do? And all these specifics. Like Copilot's great, but Copilot also says, explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old. It like explained all this stuff and you have to give it all this information. And you're right. It takes a bit to compile that and put that in a comprehensive thought or prompt to get your Copilot to, or ChatGPT or any of these AI tools to give you the response you want. And then yes, it sometimes is iterative, but it is, you know, these are the things as we're learning. It's like when I know initially when they talked about, they said, oh, you ought to be a good prompt engineer. I'm like, that's just asking questions. Like I'm not stupid. I can ask questions. And you realize, oh, but it's how you ask the questions to get the information out. And again, that's getting easier. And there's Copilots to help you make Copilots. So.
Yeah, and there's Copilots to help you make good prompts for Copilots, and then I'm bored halfway there. So So a side note, definitely, but you know, also a realization that it requires a different skill set than being a developer to write good prompts, in my head at least. Sorry. All right, moving on. Updates for modernization for theming for Power Apps, more specifically Canvas apps, were released last week. It's more of an update from Microsoft's announcement that now you're able to do custom theming in Canvas apps. You have the color theme and it applies to all the modern controls. Finally, you also have a new toolbar control and new icons. They don't work for classic, as it's called, not legacy, not old, but classic controls yet, but they're working on it. And I think that's kind of a fullness of time type thing. But yeah, it looks sleek and it's what we've been using the branding starter template thing for ages. So it's good to finally see that in the app, in the studio as well. So yes, definitely start using that.
Cool. All right. So the other thing, kind of popping back to the Copilot question, whatever. And the other thing that Copilots are good for, AI is good for, is explaining how things work.
Mm.
So this is something actually for Power Pages, and this actually came out a while ago, but it kind of slipped under the radar. It was actually late February when this blog post came out, and I only noticed it this week as I was going through stuff. But how many, I don't know about you, but I find a lot of times I learn something by looking at what someone else has done, an example code or something that someone has built,
all the
before.
Time.
Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you're looking at code or even sample code and docs, and you're like, what is it that they're trying to do here?
Oh, that never happens.
Oh, no? Okay. Well, for me, it's like, I was like, oh, what is this going on? So now they have within the Copilot for Power Pages in Visual Studio, which also I think is pretty powerful. It's one of these mm-hmm. ones that can generate good code. It has like this explain code feature support. And I know they have this in the GitHub Copilot and some of these other ones, but now it's in the Power Pages one. So you can actually highlight a bit of code and say, okay, explain this to me. And it will, in a chat panel, provide you a response of what that code is doing and what it's supposed to do and what it's there for. So that's really cool, to be able to, again, this is where AI is taking us. AI is not only helping us, find answers or find things, but also explain things that we've already found or explain code. Very, very cool things. The Code Explainer and Power Pages, we have the link in the show notes. Again, like we always say, check it out.
Yeah, check it out. And then maybe that also can help you if something happens to Power Pages the way that it happens with PowerFX now. Very poor segue, but I tried. So I have a question. I haven't done a lot of work with PowerFX. I'm, like I've said before in this podcast, I struggle to wrap my head around the declarative and, that kind of thing. So I saw something this week that now in PowerFX, they're changing the syntax for strings and the way that you call columns in Dataverse, for instance. So they're going away from quotes and double quotes. You can stop using that for strings, or it's the other way around. And you can now call columns in Dataverse by display names, not logical names, for instance. Now, I looked at this and I went, well, this is just confusing for first. I would love to actually pick the logical name instead of the display name because that's more accurate and specific. So that's a weird change in my head. And also the single quote, double quote, what does this mean? Can they just change syntax? And then what happens to the original apps? You've been working with this more than I have. Can you enlighten me, please?
I could try my best. Like they say, it's in the blog post we're looking at, it says it's a small syntax change. But also it's about, it's there's certain impacted functions, the add columns, drop columns, rename columns, show columns, the search group by data source info. And they show an example of like an existing formula, which is using quotes. And then the second one is not using quotes. Subtle but important difference. And it just, again, it's about the impression of using PowerFX. And like, thing is, PowerFX is still evolving. It is open source. So they are collecting feedback on how people are using it and things like that. But of course, I know you had this concern. And I mean, maybe we don't quite agree, and maybe just the wording of the blog post here, because there's this concern of, oh, if you're making this syntax change, are you going to break all the existing apps in the world? And then basically, something that is built into PowerFX or how they're implementing it is these things will be automatically updated to the new syntax. But it's saying here when it's loaded into Studio or after version 3.24.42, and basically saying in general, you don't need to do anything except start using the new syntax for new formulas, meaning I read this as all of your existing apps that are out in the wild will continue to work fine. What you may notice if you go in to make an update or change, when you load it up, it actually is going to appear in the new syntax. But still, that being said, I think we probably have trust issues sometimes with these things. Because I know I've said this before, I don't want to shock anybody, but every so often Microsoft rolls out something that doesn't quite work as expected. There's no indication that this is the case here, but it is just good to be aware of these things. And as they're evolving, Power FX and the changes they're making, this is something that we as Power FX developers, if there is such a thing, you need to be on top of these things as this language is evolving. And I'm in the middle of learning more and more Power FX each week. And I was sort of like, I think where you are now, my head just couldn't wrap around the pushing and the pulling and the imperative and the declarative. I'm getting much more comfortable with those concepts now that I've been actually hands-on, fingers on keyboards working with this. I'm kind of moving from the, I no longer hate Power FX. And that's actually, I put in a couple session submissions. Mm-hmm. And the title is, I used to hate Power FX because I think there's a lot of people like you that are out there that are still struggling with it coming from our code backgrounds. Like at the end of the day, I'm looking at certain things in Power FX. I'm like, I could do this in JavaScript faster.
Yeah.
But then there's other things when I look at it, okay, once you actually get it implemented, like, well, this is actually pretty elegant in how it works and everything like that. But there is, it is a journey. It is a process. but all that being said is we also need to keep on top of these changes that are coming from Microsoft or the Power FX community as they're evolving this language as well. So there is this, you know, this article about changing the column names into strings, removing the double quotes, the escaping and things like that. Mm. These changes also affect people who have written blog posts. I know if I look at a blog post from a couple years ago, I'm already, okay, has it changed?
Is it
updated now? Mm-hmm. Is it different now? That's just sort of the world we live in right now, is things are changing so fast that the content needs to be fresh all the time. And sometimes older content no longer applies.
Yeah. So. And we should all do what Megan Walker does. When she has a disclaimer on top of all her blog posts that this was accurate at the time that I wrote it. Tomorrow, it may be outdated and it's up to you to know. But I just want to call out, it says, I'm reading the description. Your apps will be automatically updated to the new syntax when they are loaded into Studio at or after version 3.24, la la. That means, how I read it, you need to load the app into Studio at or after version something something for it to be updated. Now, what happens to the apps in production when this takes effect? I don't know. So if you have a lot of apps and a lot of Power FX in production, it may be a good idea to look into it more.
Right. Be aware of it. I think they'll keep work. I'll think they will keep working just fine, but it's still good to be aware of these things.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
To alert you about these things. Okay. Another thing that I saw this past week was Personal Pipelines by Matt Collins-Jones. Personal Power Platform Pipelines, are they worth it? Now, if you wonder what this is, you may have seen this. If you've tried to export a solution the last couple of weeks, you saw this green little pop-up modal thing come up with a rocket ship saying, oh, there's a better way of doing this now. You don't have to export and import your solution. You can push it to the destination environment using pipelines now. And that's Personal Pipelines. So Matt goes through the pros and the cons of using Personal Pipelines. It's been ranted about in the community for a while, I will tell you. And his positives, 5, doesn't really outweigh the negatives, 10 items, 10 bullet points that he goes through. So he also points out that this is a preview feature. And Microsoft very, very clear that you should not use preview features in production or in your real world work. And this pops up in my environments as well. This, you want to do this faster, smarter thing. So that's also kind of counterintuitive. You're pushing this new thing on us. It's still in preview and it doesn't say it's preview on the thing. So I'm kind of with Matt. It's no spoilers that the conclusion is don't use it. Go about your, do it the proper way, that make your, make the proper ALM, the pipeline host yourself and do this a proper way. That is kind of his and my take on it. I'm doing an ALM session using Pirate Platform Pipelines at Color Cloud next week, or this week actually. So yes, I'm on board with what you're saying, Colin, and, or sorry, Matt, for about personal pipelines for sure.
I think this probably goes in the category of it depends on your situation. But I kind of agree. Like for me, if I'm doing anything, I set up the host environment with the pipelines and go through the whole proper thing. But this is just, again, for those folks that are still exporting and importing, their solutions. But you're right. I look at this and I'm like, okay, this is probably something I'm personally not going to use myself.
Yeah.
Just for a lot of the reasons why he laid it out.
Yeah.
But again, but there's also, I know there's people in the world that are still exporting a solution to a file, wait for the export to be done, re-importing it. This maybe helps smooth the road, or at least opens the door to pipelines. And then they can say, oh, if this works so well, what, and they hit those limitations, then that kind of maybe gives them that run, that nudge into using the proper the pipelines that you and I use in our projects. I don't know. That's just an opinion.
Yeah. And you're entitled to have your own opinion. But if you are tempted to use it, read Matt's blog post first. Let's put it like that.
Okay.
Right. So moving on, we do have another thing on the list. Watch component.
Yes. Okay. So this, I got excited. This is how So basically I've been doing some embedded custom, I'm doing some custom pages work, some embedded Canvas apps, the model driven apps, which is great technology. But with the custom pages are, if you're interacting with getting information from Dataverse within the context of a model driven app. So think of things like pop-ups or sort of custom dialogues. To debug these is a royal pain in the butt, because usually if you're debugging a Canvas app on its own, then you can look at the variables and things like that. But when you're doing a custom page, because you're relying on data that's being passed into your app and everything, what you end up doing is you'll create like another panel, or you'll create little labels that are going to hold the values of variables as you're doing your debugging. So Andrew Batenko, a good friend of ours, put together this component. It's a PCF component you can add into your custom pages that you can actually access and look at some of your variables and things like that. So for debugging custom pages, just got so much more easier using his stuff. So I'm kind of got really, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is so brilliant. This is something I wish I had 2 weeks ago when I was right in the middle working on a custom page component. So yeah, definitely. Check out Andrew's stuff. The guy's a brilliant developer. Just a super smart guy, really good guy. Andrew, thanks for building this.
That's very cool. All right. So we have 3 minutes left before you have to go in a meeting.
I have to go to a meeting. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the ALM update before we just head off?
Yeah, absolutely. So ALM, but new, basically a whole bunch of new stuff to kind of help with, you know, again, this kind of goes back into the pipelines and things, but a couple things that caught my eye: cross geo app deployment. Because right now, if you are deploying something from one environment to another using the pipeline, the proper pipeline setup that we're fans of, you still actually have to have both your environments in the same geography. They both have to be in the Europe or have to be in North America. Because I know that I've set up stuff in the North American environment, a developer environment, and I wanted to push it over to European environment. I couldn't do it with pipelines. Now I can. I can turn on the cross-geo app deployment.
Yes.
Finally. And then also, of course, we already talked about the preferred solution. We're already using that in projects. That's there as well, to make sure that everything you create goes into the proper solution that helps the ALM and dependencies and all the other headaches that happen. One thing that you already knew about and I didn't, that I learned when I'm reading through this, was the ability to save flows even if they're not quite working. What used to drive me nuts is like, my flow's broken, there's a big error message, but again, like now I have a meeting to jump into. I have to minimize it, or I have to remove the error and leave it in an incomplete state and save and move on. Now we can save it in a draft, even if it's not working, and then pick up where we left off. So that's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And then other things like turning on the solution checkers, and then basically other things about the sharing limits and trying to get the deployments and the settings. A lot of cool stuff. We have the link in the show notes as well. But yeah, definitely the ALM story in Power Platform is just evolving. Again, it's one of these things every few weeks, the ALM story evolves. Mm. And it's so much better than, you know, the PowerShell commands I was using 5 years mm-hmm. ago to move solutions around and try to get all that configured and trying to configure up in a new environment.
Yeah. It can't really compare, and it's just getting better every week. It's very impressive the amount of investments they're making. Right. So let's wrap this up. Color Cloud this week, there's a discount code. We'll put that in the show notes. Make sure to check out the hair coloring and donate to the color. The color challenge. You're speaking at Dynamics Con, Dynamics Minds, and Collab Days
in Netherlands. Yep. Yes,
and Resco Next. We have a joint session at EPPC, and get 10% off your ticket with the discount code Boost for EPPC. The only 2-day ticket remaining, because the workshops are sold out, and our next. Episode will be May 1st. Can you imagine? May already.
Wow.
Okay. So have a wonderful day, people, and we'll catch you later.
Bye. Thank you for listening. If you like this episode, please make sure you share it with your friends and colleagues in the community. And be sure to leave a rating and or a review on your favorite streaming service. That makes it easier for others to find us. Follow us on social platforms and make sure you don't miss a single episode. Thank you for listening to the Power Platform Boost podcast with your host, Lurika Akabek and Nick Dolman. See you next time for your timely boost of Power Platform news and updates.